Good morning, Saints. It's always good to be back in Duluth. There are certainly some things I miss about the city as I drive around, but the thing I miss the most is the believers right here at DBC. In the pastors' conference that we had these last couple of days, we've been looking at the importance of having a dispensational framework in our thinking, and it's been fantastic. But as we've been looking at God's bigger plan for the ages, I would now like to zero in on something that's even more amazing than that, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to look briefly at the sheep-shepherd relationship that we have with our magnificent shepherd, the Lord Jesus. The Bible has much to say concerning this animal, this creature, the sheep. In fact, the sheep is mentioned more than any other animal in the Scriptures. It is referred to approximately 400 times in the Word of God. And permit me now to explain some facts about this interesting creature called the sheep and its shepherd. The sheep herder, who actually has a strong affection for his own flock and he delights in knowing them on an individual basis, is more likely to provide for them because he has a vested interest in them. And he may have grown fond of them even, named them. But also they are his property, and he has paid an initial price for his sheep. In the same way, our good shepherd has purchased us at the highest cost known to man. Jesus purchased us from the slave market of sin with his very own blood. And we're reminded of this by Jesus in John chapter 10, where he says, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And the Apostle Paul reminds us and reinforces this fact that we have been bought with a price. So our chief shepherd has paid a high cost, an astronomical cost for us. Friends, you are expensive sheep. Now, after purchasing a sheep, every responsible shepherd will then mark his animal. And it's usually some kind of identification, usually on the ear, and it's usually done with a knife. But it is a mark of possession. It is a distinct mark of identification. So all the other herdsmen will recognize when there's mixed crowds there, mixed herds. And in addition to purchasing us, the Lord Jesus also puts his mark on every sheep. Every sheep that belongs to him is sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're told this by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of your inheritance. He is the down payment. And the entire spirit realm knows this. They know that you belong to him. Now, the chief shepherd also sees his mark on each believer, and he can easily pick you out of the mix in all the crowds and all the herds, that you belong to him. Now, how about you? Do you acknowledge his ownership of you? And are you willing to be led by him? Not just in lip service, but in actual practice. The bottom line for the well-being and safety of any flock is directly related to its owner. If the shepherd is irresponsible and does not take care of his fields and provide lush green pastures for his sheep, they'll be malnourished, sickly, and even diseased. And if an owner is neglectful of his sheep, it will be very apparent, not only in the physical well-being of the sheep, but also in the mental stability of the flock. They'll be extra fearful, unsettled, and skittish, because they know, perhaps from experience, that they have a master who is indifferent to their situation, about the dangers that befall them. Sheep have no natural defenses against a predator, except the ability to run away. And they're not that fast, certainly not compared to a coyote or a wolf, which are their natural enemies. But the distress of a sheep may have to do with that at least several things. One is that, again, like I said, they're naturally defenseless. And two, they know that maybe perhaps that their shepherd will not arrive in time to protect them. Or just maybe their owner really doesn't care enough to get up in the middle of the night and hear what's going on, all the ruckus. And the sheep may have scars on their bodies of an irresponsible shepherd. Or at least a shepherd who was just always a little too late. Now, a concerned shepherd, on the other hand, will sleep with one eye open, as they say. And from one sheep herder's own personal account, he said that in the middle of the night, if the shepherd walks among his flock, the sheep are more relaxed and calm because they know he is there. And we as humans are frightened of many things. When you're a child, you're scared of the dark. Or maybe even perhaps things under the bed or something in the closet. But as you get older, you still can be anxious just about other things when you are not resting in your great shepherd by faith and you're not looking to his care and protection. Your fears are now just different. For example, when you're told that the company that you work for has to make some serious cutbacks and you're going to lose your job in 5 weeks, are you anxious? Are you nervous? Or are you content in knowing that your Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and that He has promised to provide for you? Can you really look to some other sheep over the fence and just laugh at how they worry about the littlest things? No, you really can't. Because you too can be easily frightened, just like sheep, just like children. All you have to hear is one little word from your doctor and you'll be scared sheep. Your test results came back and you have cancer. You immediately have fear of the unknown, fear of what will happen in the future. Will you survive this trial? Is this wolf or coyote too big for your chief shepherd to handle? What does Isaiah remind us of? In Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace. How? Whose mind is stayed on you. And why? Because he trusts in you. You have a faithful sheepherder who watches over you 24/7. He is never neglectful, nor is he heartless or indifferent, nor is he absent-minded. He is never late, nor does he have any regrets, wishing he had done something different with you. Will you trust your chief shepherd with the details of your life? How about with the concerns and even the anxieties of your heart? Will you trust him? Friends, he is sufficient. He is dependable. And he will always do what's best for you in light of eternity. And he is always on guard. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 121 in verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He doesn't take a day off. He is not neglectful or irresponsible. One interesting thing about sheep is that when one tries to go through a hole in the fence and the hole is too small, he will just keep on trying to go forward instead of trying to back out. They're quite stupid, actually. And we as humans are really not any different. Albert Einstein once gave his definition of insanity. And he said, insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And we do this all the time in our flesh, don't we? Pushing our own agenda, doing our own thing. And then when our head gets stuck, we wonder how it got in there and now how are we going to get out of this jam? In reading some things on shepherding, I discovered that oftentimes a sheep can just have a discontented personality and always wants to go to the other side of the fence, even though the grass that it is currently feeding on is lush and green, and on the other side of the fence it's dried out and brown. It will still want to go over there. And one of the dangers of a personality of discontentment in a flock is that this particular sheep will start to influence the rest of the sheep. And then other members of the flock will begin to wander too. Sheep are followers, and if one sheep is bent on wandering, others will eventually follow too. Isn't this true in Christianity when it comes to doctrinal error? One Bible preacher can influence literally thousands of people. And this is also true with carnality, as one believer may be irritated by what the pastor's stand is on something, or his application in a particular area. And this discontented believer begins to complain to other sheep about the shepherd. Another area where sheep will be discontented, restless, and will refuse to lie down is if there's not peace among the other members of the flock, that is with each other. There's infighting going on. And with any animal, there is a pecking order. One or two are usually more dominant than the others. And did you know that when the shepherd is present in their midst, this kind of self-glorification and jockeying for position ceases when he is among them? And likewise, our chief shepherd desires that as we yield to him in dependence, that this flock here and the flocks that we fellowship with, that we would get along together, that we would be of the same mind in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that no one would think any higher of themselves. And this is what Paul's getting at in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only on for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." It is your chief shepherd's desire that you would have this mindset as you function within the flock. Every morning, a shepherd will walk among his sheep to see if all of them are getting up or if any of them are limping, if any of them look uncomfortable, if they have any special needs. In other words, a concerned sheep herder will know whether any of his sheep are hurting. Why? Because he's familiar with their personalities. He knows them. If any of you have a family dog, you know this to be true. You can see the telltale signs when that dog has to go out, or it's hungry, or even when it wants to play. And you know these things because you live with this animal day in and day out, just like these shepherds. Our chief shepherd knows when you are hurting, both physically and spiritually. Sheep will not lie down on the ground unless they feel free from fear or free from want. They cannot be hungry or they will not lie down. And I can see why the Lord Jesus uses the metaphor of the sheep to describe us human beings, because we are anxious by nature. And all of us present have experienced a restless night where sleep escapes us because of something that weighs heavy on our mind. And we're worried, we're concerned, and we're not looking to our chief shepherd. But if you place your eyes in your all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient shepherd, only then can you truly lie down and rest. Faith rest. This is what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 4:8. He says, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Now, as I've already mentioned, sheep are essentially defenseless. But if they had some way to defend themselves, their personalities or disposition would probably be quite different. And it is true that as humans, we have devised all sorts of weapons in modern warfare. But these are for engaging in combat with other human beings. Because in the end, you realize that we are just like sheep. We do not have any natural resources or defenses against our three primary enemies. These modern weapons that we have are useless against them. Ask the unbeliever what natural resources or defenses that they have in order to combat their sin nature, or overcome this world, or even worse yet, the god of this world, Satan and his demonic forces. In the end, you must depend on the Good Shepherd to protect you. And an inner peace and contentment should be the earmark of every believer who is looking to his great shepherd, and who knows full well that he has the ability to protect them from all harm. You have a unique shepherd, my friends, who happens to be the omnipotent and sovereign over the entire planet and universe. But taking into account human nature for what it is, we can try to run away from our three enemies, and we can try to run away from our problems, but they will eventually find us. And for the believer who's either carnal or completely ignorant of their position in Christ, or ignorant of what it really means to faith rest in the strength of their chief shepherd, they are defenseless, and they are not aware of the victory that has already been won at the cross. If only more believers would realize this helpless condition and see their need to abide in Christ. And you can either go through the trial independent of the Lord and be chased all over creation in a panic, or you can have a settled conviction that the Lord knows what He's doing in this situation. He knows all the details and He is in control. And it is always, always for your own personal spiritual maturation. That is the goal. Now, sometimes we look at our earthly situation and we falsely assume that God must not be pleased with us because things aren't going well. J.B. Stoney, a Plymouth Brethren of over 100 years ago, who had great insight on the Christian life, had this to say. Our Father may cripple our earthly standing in order to strengthen our spiritual state, but He will never detract from our spiritual state in order to enhance our worldly standing. Never. The world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, Galatians 6:14. He begins by showing His desire for your spiritual advancement and not by advancing you in earthly position. End of quote. This is something that takes a while to learn. God really is looking out for your best interest. And He asks you to prepare your heart and respond to His leading. Now, unfortunately, there are times when the sheep think that they're smarter than the Lord Jesus and that their way is better than the all-knowing God. And if only we would allow Him to direct and lead in all areas, what healthy sheep we would truly be. Unfortunately, true, genuine, born-again Christians are too busy looking to quench their thirst and appetite on what the world has to offer. They foolishly think that material possessions are going to satisfy this hunger. And it will not. A believer will not truly be content unless he or she is walking with the Lord in yielded dependence. And they are living in light of His revealed truth. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes sheep will move from a lush field to stubbornly feed on a dried out, burned out one. And why would sheep be so stupid? Well, the same question could be asked of us humans. Why would a genuine believer even consider leaving the succulent fields that their great shepherd has so graciously provided? Like a sound Bible church, like DBC. Why would a carnal believer stubbornly, willfully choke on the brown fields of this world like the prodigal son? Ideally, it boils down to who are you going to yield to? You have to serve somebody. Your sin nature or the Spirit of God? And if you've been saved for a number of years, you know all too well this Romans 7 struggle that goes on within you, the war that's raging within your members. But when the Holy Spirit goes up against your flesh, He will win every time. You just need to give Him the chance and yield to Him. A shepherd who cares for his sheep will see to it that his flock are eating well, taking in rich nourishment. And likewise, our chief shepherd desires in a more perfect way that you take in high quality nourishment, the best, actually, a steady diet of His word. And He's provided it for you. And you are His beloved sheep. What an amazing shepherd we have, friends. And we know this unique sheep shepherd relationship is only possible because of the cross. Calvary has made this relationship available to you through Christ. By faith. Because He laid down His life for you and you believe this by faith, you are eternally secure in His fold. And you are forever a part of His flock. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Son. And that He is such a faithful and responsible shepherd. He is ever watchful and protective of His flock. And thankfully, He is all-knowing and all-powerful. And He is more than qualified. And thus, He is the greatest of all shepherds. Not only does He know about every heartache and every concern that we have, Father, but He is fully capable of answering all of them. What a privilege it is to know You personally, Father, and to be a part of Your Son's flock. And now I ask that You would extend grace here as we study grace and we look at this and that. Throughout the rest of this conference, Father, I pray that Your Son would be glorified through all of it. We would uplift Him. and we would see that His grace was involved in all of it, even in this sheep-shepherd relationship. And so, Father, I place these things at Your feet, and we ask them in Christ's name. Amen.